Winchester Town Advisory Board. It is August 10th, 2021, and we will start with the introduction of my fellow colleagues on the board. Starting to my right, this is Patrick Becker, and on the phone down there we have Judy.
Judy Siegel.
Great, and I'm Ken Dayton, and our staff present today is we have Beatrice Martinez.
And Shane Emmerly.
Shane, thank you, and Victoria down at the end. And Patrick, do you want to lead us in the pledge?
Small group time.
Yeah.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. This is a public meeting. We have a period now for public comment. This would be a period to comment on today's agenda. I don't see anyone from the public here, so we'll move along. I move to approve the minutes from our July 27th meeting. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, and I'll also move to approve tonight's agenda for August 10th. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Do we have informational items?
No informational items at this time.
Very good. And we just have one agenda item today, and I'll read that. It is AG-21-900376. We are to receive a report on the Maryland Parkway Corridor Transit-Oriented Development, TOD, plan, and direct staff accordingly for possible action at the Planning Commission meeting on August 17th. And I guess that floor is yours.
And I also have, we'll do the Transform Park County over there on those maps over there too, so we can do that after this one.
Okay.
So it's been a while since we've been out to you guys. Actually, I think last time we came out, we were in the other room and we talked about this, but if you want to, I guess I'll just show the slide. So this is a joint project between county, city, and RTC. MIG is our consultant, and then underneath there we've got all our sub-consultants that have worked on the project. So we're getting to the point now where we're obviously at the end of the agenda. We'll have the dates for the Planning Commission and Board of County Commissioners, but we're getting to the point of wrapping this up this month, hopefully. And then we can hopefully at some point start to get some implementation things going. Next slide, please. And so this is what our agenda will have for this evening. We've got what is the TOD, the project overview, kind of touch upon all these kind of briefly, the community and stakeholder engagement process we went through, and the plan, the contents, and the next steps. Here you go, the next one. So basically, what is transit-oriented development? It's a type of development located close to high-quality, high-capacity transit. What we want to do is obviously create a walkable community where you've got, you know, you can walk to your restaurants, you can walk to your services, walk to your residence as well. And all this would be in close proximity to, you know, the transit centers. The density would be higher around the transit centers, the density of the residential. And as you move out from that, you know, the density would kind of decrease until you come across the, you know, perhaps the next transit stop. This is more of a sustainable type of development. It's more livable for people. And it provides better access to services that people may need. So next slide, please. Again, so here are some of the benefits, social benefits, you know, your quality of life, health, being that you should, in theory, have better access to those type of services. Obviously, environmental benefits will be reducing greenhouse emissions, reduction in urban sprawl, because now you're in the core and starting to, you know, reuse the core and redevelop the core. Economic benefits, you're kind of injecting some more, I guess, what's the best way to put it, more economic not in sentence, but you're creating business as an area where you didn't have the businesses before, is probably the best way to put it. You know, so you're coming in and building up an area that may be below its potential that it could have. Equity benefits, affordable housing, diversified employment opportunities, and then, you know, increased transportation options. You know, again, with the mass transit that you will have going down Maryland Parkway. Next slide, please. So our project overview. Get to my notes here. So the corridor is going from the airport on the south all the way at Maryland Parkway, just past Charleston and the Rehangan, you know, depending on which way you're going, left over into downtown. You're going through the BRT, the Bonneville Transit Center, and then along Shadow Lane, and then into what will be, you know, the new campus for UNLV and their medical facilities and the things that they're developing there. So there's, you know, trying to get that connection not only, you know, from the airport to Maryland Parkway and then downtown, but then also connecting UNLV's, you know, campus down on Tropicana, the tradition campus, with the new campus that they have going downtown. And also, you know, on the way, you've got the hospitals on the way, so you'll be able to connect all these things together in what would be, you know, hopefully a quick route for people to take to get to these things. Right now, originally, I've been working on this probably, gosh, maybe 6-7 years back when Commissioner G was, her and I were working on this. The original intent at that time was to have light rail. Obviously, with the last several years, the way the money's gone, that pool of money has kind of dried up from what we understand from the feds. But now, you know, with the change in administration, that may be changing. But, you know, the decision was made to go with the bus rapid transit, and which is more of a, you know, you've got a dedicated lane for a bus line instead of having it more of a mix with the traffic. You're kind of getting more dedicated for it, more permanent type of transportation for it. And what we're hoping is that at some point in time, you know, this is going to be what will spur more TOD throughout the county and head out east-west directions, hopefully, and also be a model for what, you know, if we do that type of thing in other areas of the valley, this is what we look at to model it after. Next slide, please. So again, this is kind of touching upon what we kind of talked about before. You want to create a walkable, vibrant community around the hubs. So we wanted to get the existing assets and kind of bring them together and create, and also create new destinations. And then, you know, like we kind of talked before, not so eloquently as this is, we were looking at revitalization and catalytic development for, you know, some areas that may be not reaching their potential. And hopefully, you know, this will have a similar impact that you would have with, you know, if you had a fixed rail running through Maryland Parkway. So next slide. So here's our timeline. We originally started out at the beginning of COVID. I think we had one or two meetings before we stopped having meetings, and that's kind of obviously set us back a little bit in our timeline. You can see, you know, we're in that final station area TOD plan right now, which we originally had in winter 2020 and 2021. But, you know, we're about 6 months behind at this point, which isn't too bad for, you know, considering the things that we've had to deal with. So next slide, and then we can skip to the next one too. So in January we had, like I said, that was probably our only meeting we had that was in person before we went virtual. May and June we had the 2020 online survey, which was done through the RTC, and they had supported it on their bus lines. And so when people were get on, they could log on to that on their phones and give feedback on the survey. And then in October through January we had the map-based online surveys, which also were people were able to do when they're on the buses along Maryland Parkway. But I don't know if you guys recall, that's in the picture there, that's where you kind of showed where you live, the places you frequented, the changes you like to see, and you're able to kind of, it was really interactive. It was really, you could point and click and drag stuff. And then in June and July of this year was our public review of the draft TOD plans and our listening sessions. So next slide. So along the way, we had, you know, a stakeholder advisory group. We had 9 public meetings, you know, 40 stakeholders in the group. And we had business owners. We had the Maryland Parkway Coalition, Metro, Sunrise Hospital. They all participated at one point in time to give us, you know, good information and feedback on the plan as we went through the process. Next slide, please. And then the technical advisory group, the TAG group, had 5 total meetings. We had 15 members, and those were more of, you know, the departments for Clark County and some of the related entities. And then, again, kind of the same thing, same process as the stakeholders group, in which we got feedback and good input to help, you know, implement. And then, so the plan context, so we have our existing conditions needs assessment was done where the consultant went out and looked at the existing conditions along the parkway. We did a market readiness analysis, and that basically told us, you know, of the, on the slide we saw backwards showed the map where we've got, I don't know, there's probably 20 stops, which would be the best. Yeah, keep going back to
control,
yeah, right there. So yeah, we've got all the stops there. So the consultant went through, and obviously we didn't have enough money to go ahead and take a look at all the stops. So we were able, the county was able to pick 4 stops, the city was able to pick 3 stops, and at that point is when we went through this process to say, all right, of the 4 stops we're picking, you know, what should they look like? Well, what's development around it should end up looking like? So that was part of that was the market readiness analysis, where we kind of looked at and said, some of these are really not ready to have development happen just yet, some are, and then of those that aren't ready, what is needed to get them, to get some development to occur? The workforce housing plan, you know, looked at the existing conditions as well, you know, what's in the area. A value capture toolkit talked about what types of incentives we could look at to kind of spur development. And then the TOD priority focus area plans and our performance measures template, which the consultant has created for us. You know, once we're done with this process, we didn't want this to end up being a document that's going to go sit on the shelf. They gave us these performance measures templates where we can take a look at things after we've done this and gauge ourselves and see what we've achieved over the years, you know, after this is adopted. So next slide. So again, here is the kind of existing conditions needs assessment. We looked at, again, I said existing conditions, we're looking at the conditions of, you know, the sidewalks, the curb cuts, you know, the streets themselves, the safety. We had utilities, the health indicators there as well, and then the focus area profiles, you know, of those 4 areas that we ended up picking, you know, what do those profiles look like around that area? So next slide. So the market readiness plan that we had, we went through a methodology and so this is where we created our 4 categories, which we're calling energize, amenitize, catalyze, and strategize. So each one of these has a varying degree of what the TOD area's ability to develop. So the energized would be considered the stops that have the best potential to start developing now. And then our strategized would be, you know, the 4 would be the one that we need the most work to go ahead and get some development to start occurring fairly quickly. Next slide. So our workforce housing plan, we looked at the housing demographics of the area, the ridership, the dense existing density, the design, And then also, you know, what new type of density designs or diversity are we going to need to have in that area? And then we also had best practices, they're not up there, but, you know, where we looked at other case studies in other cities and try to glean some opportunities off of those as well. And then next slide, please. So our value capture toolkit, this is where we kind of, the consultant gave us some ideas on what type of programs can happen to help spur development. So we're talking about things like land banking, special assessment district, and the land banking would be like recognizing that there is some vacant property along the corridor and development may not occur at this time, but if you land bank and hold on to land and eventually when it gets to the point where you can, development comes along, at that point you can develop the land that you have kind of have been setting aside, you know, waiting for that development to occur. Next slide, please. So the four areas after we went through the whole process, we came down to Sahara, Desert Inn, Flamingo Road, and University. We wanted them to be a little, each one to be different, meaning, you know, some of them may fall in within our strategize or energize categories where some may be a little bit more development ready at this point and some may not be. So we kind of wanted a little bit of diversity as well as having it spread out along the county's jurisdiction along the line of Maryland Parkway as well. So that's kind of along with all the other things we kind of looked at too, that's kind of how we arrived at these four areas. So like I said, what we want to do is we want to see what are these four TOD stops going to look like, and then we can use those for the other stops as well. You know, we've got Tropical Russell down there, we've got Reno Hacienda University Avenue, so we've got you know, the other stops that we could use these for to kind of help guide us for the development as those for those as well. Okay, next slide. Yeah, so these four folks, so yeah, this is kind of what I touched upon a little bit before. So we came up, we've got four plans that go into these recommendations, the TOD types. So when we talk about TOD types, we have within the plan, is it going to be like more of a neighborhood commercial type thing? Is it going to be more emphasis on residential? Is it going to, you know, what's the mix going to be? So we kind of went through that process when we had the open houses and people gave us our feedback on how they felt these areas should develop. We kind of looked at the future land uses and see what changes need to be made to our future land uses to help this development occur. And then, you know, parking and safety and all that we're looked at too. You know, it's looking at things like some of these stops. You know, obviously we want to have less parking and push our buildings out toward the street. And if you do have parking, put your parking behind the buildings and create that atmosphere, that liveliness on the street that, you know, where people are going to be walking and going in and out of buildings and up and down. Next slide. So our performance measure template. So like I said, these are what we're good that the consultants have given us to kind of gauge ourselves as we move forward after the adoption of this. We want to look at and see, you know, we've got total housing supply up there. Is there, you know, when we look at the corridor as development occurs, are we seeing a change in the total housing supply? What does it look like? Is the density increases? You know, is there affordable and workforce housing supply that goes along with that? Our ridership and ridership diversity, obviously, you know, one of the things that, you know, you're kind of looking at when we go through this process is that you want to have that reliance on the mass transportation, and you want to keep that going, but the other thing you gotta want to check is gentrification, where you not end up displacing, you know, the people who actually are using the mass transit, and then you're going to lose your affordable workforce and the housing supply as well. So that's something that, you know, you want to check as you go through, you know, as this corridor develops. Yeah, we've got the infill development we'll take a look at, the mix of uses. Do we see a change of uses? Because right now we have pretty much up and down, the corridor obviously is commercial, so as things start to develop, are we going to see some residential move in? Maybe it'll be a vertical mix, it could be a horizontal mix. What type of changes will we see? And one of the big things, and the last one there, the personal safety and security was a big thing we heard from the community is, there's needs to be, a better sense of safety. And that's a big thing too, to getting people to go to the corridor and then walk along the corridor. You have to have that feeling of safety. And that, goes as far as, just the perception of walking down, but then also you're being next to a street like Maryland Park where we have so much traffic and at such speed, so these are the things you want to look at where it's going to create a more pedestrian-friendly environment. So our next steps are going to be, like I mentioned, we were looking at August 17th for the Planning Commission meeting and then August 18th for the Board of County Commissioners. Our consultant will be out at that time to present it to them. And then we'll get direction from the commissioners as to what they have additional next steps and what they feel we should be going towards. So if you guys have any questions or comments or...
Well, great report. Thank you.
Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Our MIG did it really happy with what they've done, so...
I guess my first question would be, it sounds like you guys have put together a nice coalition of, business owners and people that work for the county, and when you talk about moving buildings, you got to have, a lot of that's private property, right? So, I'm sure there's going to be individuals that are not interested in moving their building. And then at that point, there's, you have to, analyze whether you're going to use eminent domain or, what levers are you going to pull to kind of incentivize people to fall in line with the plan? How is that going to...
Well, right now, these are great points, great questions, and, stuff you've been grappling with. So we kind of take a little bit of a step back here because right now we have the Maryland Parkway overlay that's within the code, Title 30. So that in itself provides incentives for people to do some of these improvements that we want to see happen. And then in exchange for that, we have things in there where they can go through the process quicker. They may be able to... get on permits, getting some breaks that way, and going through land use application and approval a little bit quicker. So we have it set up so if you do X, Y, and Z, you can just go ahead and get approval instead of going through a public hearing process. Mm-hmm. So that's set in place right now. So this was like, all right, we've got that, the overlay in place, so this is kind of like, all right, what are these four areas going to look like? What do we kind of envision and see them as happening? But more to your point there of, we just created a redevelopment agency. And up to this point, and I'm not, since it just started, I'm not quite sure what direction they're going to take. We still have the old SOSA district that's still out there too. But the best way to do it is if you have a big developer, right, that can get properties together, or if you have the county comes in, as a redevelopment agency or something, is able to get, large areas in which you can start to look to redevelop stuff. That's, that the point you're bringing up is one of the biggest issues we have, because we have Frank Morelli. I think that's it.
Morelli, thanks.
He's done a couple stuff where he's come in and worked with us across from UNLV. The U is incorporated some of the requirements that we have, and he's working on the site there where the Methodist Church is, and where that old Arch shopping center used to be. So, and he's been very good with working with us and incorporating some of these ideas we have. But yeah, as you know, as you're saying, that's the other option, is as each person comes in, you say, okay, you need to do X, Y, and Z, you know, bring the building forward, you know, create larger sidewalks. And the county really doesn't have the ability to do eminent domain. These powers aren't quite the same as city's powers are. So one of the other things we suggest is, obviously, you know, in speaking with Public Works, we have X amount of right-of-way, and they're not interested in going out and buying more right-of-way. So one of the keys to the TOD development is to have wider sidewalks out in front of the buildings. So what we're going to ask for, you know, what we kind of we did with Frank, is when he came in, typically you have your 5-foot sidewalk, we ask that, okay, now on your private property, give us another 10, 15, whatever it may be, feet to now make this contiguous sidewalk area to you know, for the common person walking down the street, they just see it as one sidewalk. But it's kind of like Las Vegas Boulevard, you know, there's areas that are public right-of-way, and there's areas that belong to the Bellagio, and that's actually private property as well. But when you look at it, it just looks like one big old sidewalk.
Sure.
But yeah, so that, you know, those are great points you got, and those are probably the biggest hurdles that we have to creating, you know, a cohesive design. You know, as you go through it, you know, it's best way right now is kind of as developers come. And then, you know, you want to get people to come in and kind of put money into the area too. So that's part of it too, is, you know, kind of get move away from the stigma of, you know, hey, you can come out down here and do stuff. And I think UNLV gets it. And then, you know, because back when we started this process years ago, the idea was we want to make it look like, you know, Mill Avenue down in Tempe, where you've got, you know, across from UNLV, they're going to jump Maryland Parkway and have this whole other lively, you know, support system for the campus itself. So to me, that probably would be a good place to start.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it would be easier to get UNLV to kind of, you know, make moves to support the plan, but it's going to be tougher to get these private business owners, because, you know, everything costs money, and you're going to have to incentivize them basically with money, you know, whether it's a tax break or, and then, you know, if you're moving money from one pile to incentivize these private businesses, then, you know, you need to come up with some more revenue, which means, you know, the voters are going to have to decide to, you know, raise taxes and
that's kind of, yeah, when I was kind of talking earlier about some of the incentives that MIG came up with, you know, years ago when I talked to the Maryland Parkway Coalition with Chris G, and we're talking about, hey, how can you get development starting? And some owners were in favor of being taxed, whatever the percentage would be, as long as that money stayed there and went into doing these improvements we want to see. Now, I'm not a county commissioner, but I don't think the county commissioner is ever going to come out and say, I mean, we're going to tax you. But if these developers or the owners in this area were to come forward as one and say, you know, we're willing to do this, you know, that's one of the mechanisms that you can do. It's kind of like, you know, tax yourself and then get the returns on the other side. You know, so that's one of the, like I said, one of the incentives that like you guys.
Yeah.
And I can provide a little bit more detail on the redevelopment agency. It is site specific, so there's three sites. We basically just restarted the existing redevelopment agency, which had three original sites.
One of them. Looking at the SOSA again.
SOSA, and then the strip mall in front of the Boulevard Mall, and those sites both are places for near these hubs that the TOD identified. So. With the redevelopment agency, the taxes that go in there get reinvested specifically in that area again, instead of being divvied up. So that financial incentive is there in those specific sites where the redevelopment agency exists.
Yeah, if you can get one area to do it well, and
exactly.
It can be a domino effect where other developers say, oh gosh, this is beautiful, like let's
draw in people now, and they're like, oh, we got to keep up with the Joneses, keep up with the neighbors, right?
I would think that would be the priority of where to start. I mean, I know some areas are at the catalyzed part and other areas are just at the conceptual strategized part, but I would think it would make more sense that you just got to go start wherever the landowners are ready to make moves right away and get some action sooner than later, versus trying to pry and bend people who are kind of unsure.
Or on the fence, yeah, they may come on board.
No, I was going to say, you know, the plan where you said, like, where the county's going to start acquiring land, you know, that seems the best way to get some momentum going is get action going right now where people are ready to make moves and invest their money and start, you know, open businesses, and hopefully it reaches out to the other business owners and they want to get involved by seeing all the positive benefits coming from the other projects.
Yeah, and that, speaking of the owners, back when Roland Sansom was involved with the Boulevard Mall, myself and Chris Chee had discussions with him, and, you know, obviously things have changed, but, you know, he was willing to start, and he actually had come in with plans at one point in time through our office that showed bringing buildings up toward it, you know, because they got just that massive parking out there.
Yeah.
And bringing buildings forward to the street and getting rid of some of that parking, that, you know, that would be something, you know, that the existing Maryland Parkway overlay code would allow, if you, you know, lose some of that parking, and bring some and put in some buildings, and that's part of what it is. It's like, hey, you can increase your revenue because we'll support you to lose parking,
yeah,
and then replace it with, you know, buildings or retail that's going to make you some money.
Yeah.
And I know with the Sears parcel has been an issue for quite a long time, but now, you know, it sounds like it's changed hands, so hopefully maybe we can see some changes with that as well.
Yeah.
I'm working on this as the Winchester Town Board rep too.
Oh yeah, John, I've seen you all the time on this, so I know you're...
are we looking at exploring a SID, perhaps, or SIDs throughout this area?
That would be something else that the consultants had suggested too. Yeah, I mean, there's multiple things.
Something wrong with this map.
Naming rights could be something that you could do in the area on some facilities. Yeah, there's, when you were kind of talking about land banking, doing some things like that. Yeah, so there's numerous things to do out there that you could do.
And I apologize for being late. I've been in meetings since 12:30 today.
Oh, okay.
And I just got out of the last one and headed over here, so I'm sorry that I was late. Normally I'm not. But that was something that throughout this whole process, I kept thinking about. Well, it seems to me that we really need to look at instituting SIDs in critical areas that would be easier to implement, because either they're in an area that is desirable, or they have fewer landowners that you have to get together. I mean, for me, one would be the Boulevard Mall, obviously, because, I mean, there are probably only, a handful of owners on that parcel, if that. And it's very large, and I have a feeling that you would be successful in involving, didn't you say the strip mall across from the Boulevard is one? So that's one, because it's new. I mean, it's something that's looking to be regenerated, is what I'm saying. And you've got the hospital with the medical district right there. So that would be a boon for them, especially with the right type of shopping and dining and other amenities. So that would seem to be like a great one, because you wouldn't have to try to convince 30 or 40 different people, some of whom may just be making their rent and their utilities, to try to get involved in something that might, and yet if they're done attractively enough, the tax advantages to them, which cost the county only in projected revenue in the future, would be something that would, in my mind, be a very good way of jump-starting the whole idea and getting people comfortable with it.
And that would be something, yeah, these would be something that we would approach a redevelopment agency.
And I'm going to meet them on the 21st. I've been invited, 9 o'clock, County Commission Chambers. Tick's already said you will be there, right? Yeah, I'll be there. So that's just something that I thought about in reading everything and going over, because I've been meeting to all the meetings. I'm going, it seems like just a couple of strategic SIDs with a few property owners that make up a big portion of it, like Edlin University, is an ideal. one possibly on some property they might own across the street. So.
And they have come to us about doing a UNLV overlay too as well. So they've been talking with Nancy and Mario and myself.
Well, there's a transportation center slated for for the university campus at University University Center Drive there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so there's, I think we still got a good momentum going with this. Like I said, you know, we've been doing it for a while, but I think it's still fairly, you know, fairly strong and going. So it's good to see.
Do you guys have any business owners lined up ready to make moves right now?
Like I said, the only one Frank's been the one, you know, that's really done some changes just recently.
And that's the property across from UNLV.
Yeah, so if you look at the U, when you go by the U and look at they've got the sidewalks right there along the street.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It has a little businesses on the first floor.
So that's the type of thing we want to see happen. And,
yeah,
he did a great job with working with us on that.
So you have any friends?
We have to probably talk to
development desires.
Yeah.
We probably could talk to Shawnee too. She's with the redevelopment agency and see if she's had anybody who's come in and started talking to her about this stuff. Which could be the case, you know, it could be happening.
What about the gentleman who's developed the corner at Maryland Charleston, the theater? He's putting in the restaurants, the shopping center. I mean, that seems like somebody that would be very amenable to this type of an idea, because he basically put together the property from the restaurant equipment place all the way up the block, that whole shopping center, to that those old homes that are like offices now.
Right.
And he seems to have some really good ideas, and what he's done with that area is just
And the area you're talking about would fall into the city's jurisdiction of this study.
Right.
I'd have to talk with Marco and see, you know, exactly, you know, what type of plans he's got, because when we've had our meetings with the city with Marco and the other city planners, you know, they have talked about, you know, Jay's got, I think he's got all four corners, at least
three of the four. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, AutoZone, I don't think he's got that one.
Which one?
AutoZone.
No, he has the other three, this 99
cents. And he's redeveloped the ones on the north of Charleston on the west side have been redone. Some stuff's been happening on those too.
No. Yeah. Oh, yes, you're right, along that.
Yeah, they're really, there's like a really, really narrow sidewalk in front of them, but they've been repainted and looking
clean,
better.
Cleaned up, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully, he'll start working with the city and incorporate some of these ideas. And the city, obviously, as you guys know, the city just redid their, you know, did their 2050 master plan. So, and so they're kind of moving to a form-based code as well, so that'll have some changes right there in and of itself, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of bring it all back, what's the agenda for the Planning Commission and Board of County Commission meetings coming up on August 17th and 18th to just review the final plan?
Yeah, so we'll present the final plan to them. It'll be a little bit more in depth than what we went through here.
Are they making a vote on anything?
Yeah, is it a discussion item or a vote?
It's a discussion item. Accept it, and then they'll give staff direction on.
Right.
We want you to look a little bit more into whatever they decide. SIDs, redevelopment, and then.
Yeah, typically on the discussion items, they'll give staff some sort of direction that, you know, is like, okay. And what we want them to do, like I said before, we don't want this to just turn it into that kind of thing to sit on the shelf. So, like I said, we have at the end of the slide there, we have the implementation stuff where we can measure ourselves as once we adopt this and go through this, we can see that, okay, we're doing this, we're doing that, we're not doing this, we need to do this and that, and kind of help guide us. But yeah, we'll hopefully get, and maybe, you know, Shawnee will be there too, and maybe we'll get a little more input as far as, you know, how that's going to tie in.
Yeah, it just seems to me we, the Clark County is going to have to dangle a pretty juicy carrot to get action from the, you know, business community, from the small business owners, the landowners, the entrepreneurs, because, I mean, we can plan till we're blue in the face, and, you know, creating sidewalks and bus lines is great, and the vision is beautiful,
But at the end of the day, I mean, the money's got to come from the private sector to execute all this stuff. And, you know, again, you gotta provide, we have to figure out how to incentivize the private sector to, you know, be partners for this and, you know, get on board with the vision. So,
I think it's going to have to be a combination of things like redevelopment dollars and tax breaks and economic opportunity zones and special improvement districts. It needs to be a broad-based mix so that we have a lot of opportunities to, if this doesn't work, we can do this, or we have this solution, so that people don't feel like, well, if they don't qualify, or it turns out that not just they feel, but if it turns out they don't qualify for one thing, that's a dead end.
A couple other options, yeah.
Yeah, that there's something else they qualify for. Because otherwise, without incentives, and they need to be hawked at Chamber of Commerce meetings, at BNI, to the BNI in the state of Nevada, who I just met with Terry Reynolds for hours today. So I've got that on my mind as an industry. Those are the places that would provide catalysts for disseminating information, especially Chamber of Commerce and Business and Industry.
And we've, you know, the Maryland Parkway Coalition, I don't know when the last time they met.
I was going to say, when was that?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of...
It's been over 2 years, I think. Well, he's been dormant, yeah.
We'll have to get on Rick and get him to...
Yeah, you're right, it has been, because it was before the pandemic. It was like early
2019. Oh, he stopped even before the...
It was like 2018. The end of it. The end of that. That was the last time I remember seeing anything about them meeting.
Yeah, because that happened when I went to those meetings.
Over 2 years, 19, 20, we're now 21.
Yeah, those had some pretty good, they had strong following when I went to those meetings. They had a big turnout when Rick did have those.
Well, you know why I think that is because there are a lot of people that look at that area as pivotal, whether you're looking at it from the university's side of the situation, or you look at it from the residents in the area, or you're looking at it from the hospital and doctors and the offices in the what used to be the Flash Cubes, they don't look like that anymore, but they used to, mm-hmm. across the street, and you look at it from the other businesses in the area, there's a lot of reason for that to be a viable economic engine because just the sheer size of it.
Yeah.
And the opportunities that much land that's been all coalesced into one parcel or close enough that you can deal with it presents.
To keep the meeting kind of on track so we're not here all night, I mean, we're just receiving the report at this point, mm-hmm. and then obviously encouraged to continue to
come with the Planning Commission, the Board of County Commissioners. Yeah.
Right.
And that's what case?
17th for Planning Commission and the 18th for the Board of County Commissioners.
Yeah.
A week for Planning Commission, a week from today, and Board of County Commissioners Wednesday.
A week and a day.
Are these televised live?
Yes, they're all televised live on TV, on YouTube, on Twitter.
Okay.
And that goes for any public meeting that the Board of County Commissioners has.
Okay.
So we share it on Facebook as well. Feel free to share it on Twitter or on your community's Facebook page.
Yeah.
But it'd be great. You know, John's got his ideas. Show up and give his ideas or whomever, but yeah.
Cool. Do you guys have any other questions or comments on the report?
Was there any discussion for any kind of historic incentives on any?
That, because the if you look at in the code where the overlay is, so it stops at Boulevard Mall. Doesn't go into the Paradise Palms and all the historic stuff. So it's a pretty, the overlay is a pretty narrow corridor. So we're basically looking at, when we look at, how we wanted to have that overlay look, because we're looking at properties that were fronting on Maryland Parkway.
Right.
And at that time, you know, there, nobody came up with, you know, any properties that were, you know, something that were of historical significance that they built. So, yeah, and if you look at, you know, if you think about all the properties that are right along Maryland Parkway, I mean, you're talking mostly just commercial stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, commercial can be historically significant.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say the mall was built way back when, but it's had a facelift, several facelifts and mm-hmm. everything too, so, yeah. We just wanted to stick to the properties along Maryland Parkway, but there is an ability, so if someone were to get, you know, let's say they bought a property along Maryland Parkway, but then also bought one or two behind it, to add that into it if you wanted to make it into one cohesive development. So there is that ability, but obviously, you know, with Paradise Palms, the way it's situated, that, and that wouldn't really...
I would think there would be incentives, though, for businesses on Maryland Parkway. There are structures all the way up and down there.
And what about the DI, Super Arterial? I mean, there are, like, for example, the Winchester Plaza office complex.
Yes.
That was built in the early 70s.
72.
Early 70s, that's pretty close. That's a very unique building. I mean, nobody would build that like that anymore.
Right.
And there are other things along Maryland Parkway, such as the Country Club for Paradise Palms, which has been there since about 65, I think. Or 64.
Somewhere in there, yes.
Yeah, 64, 65.
Yeah, so
because they were building the homes before they actually got the Country Club built. Mm-hmm. So it was sort of the development kind of creeped a little. Because I was living here since 59, so... that would be another area I would think, at least taking DI, like as far as Eastern, I wouldn't see any point in going west because so much of that now has been changed and replaced, or they're just such bad apartment buildings that there's nothing most people would ever consider doing. But certainly going east, you couldn't make a case on Desert Inn.
There's several. I volunteer for Nevada Preservation Foundation, and I was the host for the institutionally modern tour. So I gave a lot of those buildings up and down Maryland, and the one with the arches is now gone. But there are a lot of buildings that I would like to see more of an embrace of the historic nature of some of the buildings instead of let's just talk about tearing everything down and building something new.
When you see the one with the arches, I'm trying to think.
Across from UNLV. Three big arches. It's gone now.
The new Frank Moretti. He's developing.
Yeah. What was there? Was it a bank or something?
The shopping center with the arches was made out of brick.
And it was like.
And then there was a little indoor plaza kind of area, and then the building started.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that now. Yeah. Now that you
just. The shopping center down below the street and always flooded.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. They had. Below, and then they had what looked like half a floor above grade, and half a floor below grade or something,
And the office buildings across from Sunrise Hospital, I mean, those are fantastic buildings.
Yeah.
I would think that there would be some incentive there for people to either maintain or restore, because some of the things have been altered, but could be brought back if they were.
Well, those two office buildings, all they've done really to those to paint them. You know, they painted them.
And they've got the round ones too.
Yeah, the brown and whatever.
Yeah,
the flash cubes. They were just painted brown. I mean, if they were painted black, they'd be the same buildings they were before.
Right.
And the round building that used to be Mulaski. I think it was Mulaski developed. No, who was the developer that had that? It was originally built. Or when Mulaski built that. Yeah, he developed Maryland Parkway. That was Paradise Development Company's original office. Well, not the original, but it was the office from the early 60s. The round building that's now offices or people have rented different parts of it out. That's been there for 50 years, more, 60 years, since the early 60s. That was where he headquartered before. He built that before the Paradise Mall, the Boulevard Mall was developed. Because he built Sunrise Hospital.
Yeah, all right, well, yeah I mean, we talk about it all night. Mm-hmm. The points were taken. We could use our imaginations and go all night on this.
I'm thinking primarily the Maryland Parkway down, you know, to like at least Denny's and DI down to Eastern would, I think, be And I think there's an
place,
yeah, places to look at, including.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you for the presentation.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We have a couple other things. You're forgiven, John, of course. We have some general business.
Well, yeah, and so if you want, we can go into the transfer.
Oh, yeah, of course. So, yeah. I'm rushing off the floor.
Yeah.
So up here we have the proposed land uses and our existing land uses. So this is our proposed. And that's the existing stuff that we have. So right now we're not looking at, you know, doing a change like from commercial to residential or residential to commercial. All we want to look at is, you know, have you guys in the community look at and say, you know, have we missed something, you know, when we're making these changes? Because basically it's going to be a one-for-one change, right? So we're saying what is now currently will take the... it's commercial tourist. That's all going to go to this kind of reddish color here. So, and then you've got like this subdivision's now going to go toward this color. But we're not looking to say, okay, we want to turn, you know, this parcel into commercial when it's residential at this point in time. All we want to do is say, hey, take a look at the maps. Do these new categories make sense? And, you know, are we getting it correct when we're doing that one-to-one change across these? Now, this one particular issue doesn't really impact this town board as much as it does, say, Enterprise, but there's been talk about the RMP. We're not getting rid of the RMP. It's just basically being renamed. And the reason, if you guys have been watching the BCC, Maryland had brought up the point, hey, I was the one who, you know, decided that we needed to rename it and to better reflect the character of how that development occurs. So we're not getting rid of the RMP, and actually what we're doing is building in better protections for what would be the new category for RMP to help, you know, prolong that type of development. And so we're putting that into the policies, and then we're going to end up putting that into the code when we get to the point. We're just starting the update on Title 30 now. Obviously, on the master plan, we're getting toward, you know, we got a couple more months here, and we should be wrapping up the update for the master plan. So at this point, yes, all we're doing is kind of coming out to all the town boards this week and have them take a look at, you know, the new categories, and if we've got them, if they look good to you guys, basically.
Are these maps online?
Yes. So if you go on to our webpage.
Transform Clark County?
Yeah, they should be on that front page, from what I've been told.
Yeah,
you can click on them to there and take a look on there if you wanted.
Cool.
Obviously, yeah, you guys look at this right now and say, oh.
So this is the Title 30 rewrite would be a great place for all the comments for historic preservation to come in, because this is the rewriting of the Title 30 of everything that whenever anyone submits anything, that's what they...
Yeah, and I know, John, I've seen you on those meetings as well, too. You know, they do provide an area where you can go in and put comments right into, you know, the documents and stuff right there.
Yeah.
Is it
not
popping back
up?
Yeah, it's just a little slow.
Yeah, it is on that webpage.
It's a double feature, huh?
Just rezone the Boulevard Mall parcel to, casino resort and watch the developments spark up overnight. Fertitta's come in, buy the whole chunk of land, put a station right there. Just kidding. I was just going to see if there's a place online where we can spend a little more time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you're going to show us how to get there. Transform Clark County.
Master plan to participate.
Oh, nice.
This is the draft master plan.
Yeah.
And you guys saw a little bit of this a couple meetings ago, if you remember.
So obviously that's going to be a little bit more than just the maps, but you can go on there and look at the maps as well. It has.
Is it? Is this where the maps are?
It's coming. Such a large document.
Oh, there we go.
But it's in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's all.
We can. Yeah, I'll have.
You know, we don't need to look at it
is
now.
Is there something specific? Let me know if there's something specific that you want us to find.
I was just like the key
at
the bottom
link
there.
To, yeah. Okay. Let's give you a link just to those. Like
do you have?
I'll double check with him.
But I can email everyone that mapped
it. Yeah, I'll take a look at it tomorrow and let you know. You can get it out.
But please feel free to share this with all of your Facebook groups. This is the perfect time to get input. And then flush it through, and then
yeah.
Get it on the title. Is it
going to
be Title 31? Is that the official?
I don't know what they're going to end up calling it because we've just started the rewrite of Title 30 just a month or two ago officially. So they're just working through the new zoning districts and how they want to call those. Again, back to the whole RMP thing. There's some changes there, but. I haven't heard anything on what we're going to officially call the title.
And Winchester does not have any RMPs.
I don't think so. If they do, it might be it's existing.
I think I could think possibly
be
the
might
biggest
be some
country
down
club.
South.
No. That's high density.
I'm Las Vegas Country Club?
Yeah, because of the tower.
Because of Regency?
Yeah.
Because, there's all those individual private homes.
Yeah, I think you might have some. I think this is the, what the heck's the name of that? That old RE subdivision out off Eastern and Windmill. It's been there forever.
Oh, that's in Winchester?
No.
No. I'm confused then.
Is it?
That's Paradise.
Yeah.
Winchester is just.
So we have, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's what I thought. That's right.
Yeah, what am I thinking? I'm looking down all
that's
the way
that's
down.
That's right. It's going. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't see.
They just combined us together for the map.
Yeah.
There might be some little pockets, but that I can see this far north right there, but. Yeah, it's more of an issue with Enterprise at this point.
Okay. But this would be a good place again to this, for the historic preservation items to incorporate into it, to beef up that chapter.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think the zoning will change. Not this, but there'll be another layer to be put on top.
Yeah, these are just the land uses.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Well,
What else you got for us?
That was it.
Okay.
That's
all right.
The end of the double feature.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Sure. I look forward to seeing you. Even before you leave, you can pop out, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I'll stay involved in the community in one form or another, whether it's in my new neighborhood or just watching the meetings on TV.
So. Where's the new neighborhood?
Centennial Hills.
Oh, wow.
Are you moving out of town?
South Reno.
I'm just moving out of Winchester up to the northwest area.
Centennial Hills, that's a whole other world.
Yeah, different world out there. Are we reviewing the fiscal year budget requests?
We are.
Okay.
Because you gave me some last meeting, so thank you.
Thank you.
We're good.
Thank you very much.
We have one last item, and that is...
Thank you.
Last meeting, I had, it's a 2-3 meeting process. You can finish up the items today and vote on them officially. We do have to vote on them, or you have to vote on them, rather. Okay. But to review, last time you asked for more decorative items and mediums, and then chairs. Is there anything else that you would like to add?
I don't know. Think hard.
I think the medians is more of a finishing landscape issue, you know, not like you know, like not more sculptures and stuff like that, but more whether they're those metal cactus type things that they do. And I suppose that could be decorative, except somebody might think it more sculptural, which I suppose it can be. But I'm looking at them not just being a large art installation on a flat asphalt surface in the center of the road with nothing happening.
So we'll keep that on the list.
Yes.
At least in my community, the main concerns I hear from my neighbors are homelessness in the Wash. Obviously, the golf course is private property, but it bleeds out into the neighborhoods. There's camping in the Wash. There's people having portable stoves and having bonfires at night. There's drug use. There's all sorts of crime in the neighborhood. So, I mean, if I were to, you know, truly represent the community, I would say
that's number one.
A lot more action. And you know, clean the Wash. Get the campers
clean,
out of there.
Clean and secure.
Clean
and secure, because
and keep it ongoing. So I mean, you know, they take down their tents and they're there the next week.
Right.
And you know, and it's to the point where something bad is going to happen. You know, between the people that live in the community and the people that camp in the community, because people are getting pissed. And when I mean, if you would see how they handle the coyote problem.
Yeah.
It got really, really bad, you know, and people were shooting coyotes with rifles, and I mean, God forbid, if the county is not going to do anything about it, eventually someone's going to go down there with a can of gasoline and a match and just raise the place. And that's where we're at in the community of Paradise Palms, at least, and, you know, those people are going into the neighborhoods, breaking into houses, squatting, and nothing's being done about it, and it's a dangerous situation.
So I do want to correct that we do clean up the Wash once a week. That's how often it gets. We spend about $1 million in the Flamingo Wash, and
yeah.
I can give you the numbers where they're every
week. But can't it be secured better? I mean, the weak chain link fence is just not... A chain link fence is easy to get through.
Exactly. We're looking into that.
Okay.
So, but just so you know, that does cost millions of dollars, so we are looking into that. And my question is to clarify, the Wash is Public Works. We clean that up and we'll secure it.
Yeah.
Obviously, that takes from the budget of roads, because that's all in the same Public Works budget.
Mm-hmm.
Regional Flood Control will not pay for fencing, even though it is you know, Regional Flood Control. Similar situation down at the airport as well, the airport tunnel. So that is Public Works budget. We can request more, and the commissioner has already requested more. For private properties, that's code enforcement. For squatters,
right.
We try to change the state legislature to allow us to do more than fine the property owners, because we can only do so much we can put a lien on people's property. Just with Airbnbs and squatters, we can't do anything more than that, because then that is an illegal tax, and as a county, we can't tax citizens without the legislature allowing us.
Yeah.
So in the next legislative session, we would appreciate your public comment, because we looked into that. That bill died. The county...
How about just enforcement resources? More. Gosh, I mean, in an era of defunding the police, but I mean, there needs to be police, you know, because it's constant. It is constant, and our neighbors are like, we are at our wit's end with what's going on in the community, and it seems like the solutions that have been put forth so far are putting a Band-Aid on a gash, but it's not enough.
So we do code enforcement. We have no ability to enforce Metro's regulations, so I can request more funds for code enforcement.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, maybe code enforcement presence, maybe that could be a deterrent. You know, if there are more code enforcement cars in the neighborhood, and maybe if they look like police cars, maybe that would be a deterrent, you know? I mean, not that we want to have a freaking police state in the neighborhood or anything, but...
Right. We don't want to put people without guns to make it look like they're enforcement.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
But, so that's the only issue, because they do not carry weapons. We have to schedule meetings with Metro to go into those. We always have... As far as the... Winchester Town Advisory Board requesting more funds that would help the area, code enforcement, increasing code enforcement abatement funds and staffing funds.
Mm-hmm.
Your area command is either South Central or Southeast.
Yeah.
Depending on which side of Pecos McLeod you live on, they just redistricted. So that's your COP team.
Yeah.
They're the ones that do homeless outreach. And the HOT team is at HUD. Supposedly they're here as well. But I'll can certainly ask for more code enforcement, abatement funds and staffing funds.
Yeah.
You know, the issue with UMass, they just abated that property again. The property owner's in jail, homeless people keep going in there. We keep securing on UMass Circle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right behind Chris and John.
Yeah, so we...
Oh, yeah, that's bad.
We knock, and we can't send our code enforcement officers without Metro, and Metro will kick them out. They'll secure the area, they go back in.
Yeah.
They just abated that.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
Last week, so yeah.
That's where they come from.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's one of the cul-de-sac.
And the issue is that the property owner is in jail, so we can't... That's, They're trying to...
If the property owner's in jail, who's paying the property taxes?
Oh, it paid it. Oh, I don't know.
Probably nobody.
Well,
yeah, but there's a time period.
It takes about 5 years to 10 years to get the property if you don't pay your property taxes. Clark County is very lenient.
I was going to say, because I would think if you're in jail and you can't pay your property taxes, after a certain period of time, you can seize your property for not paying the property taxes.
Right.
And then that solves the problem by reselling it to somebody who's not in jail. It
takes a decade.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. We're not there yet, and the homeless are usually there every day.
Yeah.
That was a huge
camp.
Yeah. And it was pretty rough. Yeah. The place that just burnt down
That was Model 5. Right?
We just got another. I was talking to someone next to the medical facility next door. Those people keep selling it to each other every 6 months. And we have two code enforcement complaint for the graffiti, the squatting, and the burned down place, and then a building complaint for graffiti.
Are those fourplexes, or are those the actual homes on Desert Inn?
Oh, sorry, no, I'm talking about Eastern.
Eastern. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was thinking of the Desert Inn fire.
Oh,
yeah,
there's
sure
that
not.
Fire.
Yeah.
There's that fire, and then you go around the corner on Eastern, there's another boarded up place, and that place is almost right on the corner of DI and Eastern.
Okay.
I am very familiar with all of the cases in all of this area. It is just I don't know, and I can tell you we've seen an increase in homeless.
Even people that used to be able to afford $700, $800, or $900 a month rent, now they're priced out of the market with the rents being $2,000, $2,500 for a small two-bedroom apartment if you're lucky.
Yeah.
So I understand the impetus for the problem. That doesn't solve the problem.
Right. And just so you know, every single time code enforcement or Metro goes in, we have help from Southern Nevada providing them assistance because that is a legal issue. We have to offer them assistance before we can move them anywhere.
How about private security? Can Winchester hire private security that can carry weapons, that can police?
That is a state law, and so you would have to change the state. Who has authority over who can make arrests or things like that.
But like a private business, like let's say you're a bank or a business, you can have a security guard with a weapon that can enforce at least private property rights.
But not the government. Our government, we are held to the state, allows us to do or not to do things.
Yeah,
and our enforcement is Metro.
What about like, let's say a community got together, formed an HOA, and then lobbied Winchester for funds to secure the property, and then the money would go through a subsidiary. That way, you're not hiring security. This other, I don't know, I'm just thinking outside the box, shell corporation to just get people to handle the problem.
So HOAs are state jurisdiction.
State, okay.
Yeah, county is not allowed to, that's the attorney general stuff. Yeah.
So.
We're surprisingly, we're very narrow in our scope for state law and what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
Increased funding for existing organizations, code enforcement, cleanups of washes, that's public works.
So meanwhile, these people just operate, do their thing with impunity, and life goes on every day. You can't just throw them in jail every day. That doesn't solve the problem. I don't know. It's a really difficult problem. Unfortunately, part of the reason we're leaving the community with a four-month-old, and my wife, doesn't feel safe going to 7-Eleven after dark to get a gallon of milk. The Target on, I won't go into it. It's really sad because we love it here. We love Winchester. Obviously, I've been, working with you guys and serving the community. And I just wish it wasn't so hard to come up with solutions. These are really, really challenging problems. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
It's almost like put forth a solution. Oh, but we have a lot to predict that.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so I think it's great you guys understand your firsthand involvement in the community and in government, but a lot of people don't understand it. And so when laws are being made, no one, and up in the legislature, we're constrained by state law.
Yeah.
So we did try to, we had judges testifying on why we can't have folks just, when they pay their property taxes, you have to pay a fine because you have squatters in your house, right?
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't eliminate the Yuma issue, but it would have eliminated another one, and that was turned down. So, politics is local, but then you have to go up to Carson.
Mm-hmm.
So you mean it's the people that are paying the property taxes, if there's a fine, they can't get the fine?
So what we tried to do is code enforcement tried to put a fine. If you have a code enforcement complaint after a certain amount, you become a nuisance, like your place got burning down. Well, right now what they can do is they can put a lien on the property, but that's not going to be paid until you sell your property.
Mm-hmm.
So the investors, Airbnbs would just let them go. They wouldn't really care until they sold the place.
Yeah.
And so what they tried to do is they tried to put those liens as to be due when you pay your property taxes quarterly.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And we're not allowed to do that.
So the liens
because of state law.
Because that is considered a tax. we were creating a tax and did it get approved through the normal process of taking it. Either the state allows us to create a new tax or we have to take it to the voters twice.
Yeah, well, process.
I don't know. Do you guys need money for anything else?
No,
I gotta run unless we have more to cover here.
I think those are the major concerns. Uh-huh.
So we have
pretty medians and crime control.
Crime control, new chairs, and do you guys want to vote on it?
Yes.
Yeah. For two thousand. That is a system that came down the road another meeting.
Yeah. So all is it? It's just a simple vote. So I. It's a motion, right? So we move to I move to request funding for beautifying the medians within Winchester, especially the ones that have the art installations through either artificial turf or a desert landscape. Also, to get to new chairs. The Winchester Town Board. It sounds so petty, but that's where we're at. And thirdly, to provide more funding to control the encroachment of the homeless community and criminal activity around our residential areas. All in favor?
Aye.
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 JB, forgot you were there. Cool. Okay, next meeting, August 31st. Y'all, I won't be here, but I'll be here in spirit. And tonight's meeting is adjourned.